Recording has started.
Welcome to the study group of the Sealed Book of Mormon. It's 29 of January.
No, the
30th. Of 30.
The 30th.
The 30th, sorry. January 2022. We study the Acts of the Three Nephites, chapter 12. Verse 9. So I will read the first verse and we take it from there. But behold, my father, being the same yesterday, today, and forever, was condescending before the foundation of the world to reveal these things in due time, when it was expedient that their children might not remain lost in the darkness, but become clear in his ways when these words are revealed to them. So, any comments? Well, I have a comment. The same yesterday, today, and forever, before the foundation of the world in due time. I love it. This is Jesus, by the way, talking about what we need to know as an elect generation, the fullness of times and the latter day of the fullness times. And I wanted to, I was thinking about the times and the seasons and yesterday, today, and forever, that it's also a cycle, a season. And we're just letting to be taught by the Spirit, Bauke and me, in all things now, to not teach each other by the precepts of man, but weigh every word in a new way so that we are being reborn in all things, all ways how we perceive things. So this is for me, especially with everything pointing to the sacrament and the seventh day, and before the foundation of the world, it's all planned of that. It's for us, it's deepening a lot of this remembering. So yesterday, today, and forever, about this time intertwined. So maybe some other thoughts.
I'm not sure what I have to think about the word condescending, because condescending, it's a bit negative to me. Can any of you explain?
The same words used in the Book of Mormon in the vision which Nephi had, where the angel asks Nephi, do you know, do you understand the condescension of God? And yes, I agree with you. In our context, modernly, that is somewhat demeaning, I guess. But I think it's used in the scriptures in a somewhat different way, in that it's true that God is reaching down to us. And it is true, we are in perhaps a pitiful situation, and or at least the situation that we are in need. So that's kind of how the way I look at it, that God, and the question or the context in the first chapter of Nephi and chapter 3 in that vision is regarding how God would become man, or that he would condescend in the sense that he would take upon our form to redeem us. And so I can't think of anything more uncondescending, that he actually stooped to our level and to bring us back to God.
Great.
That's how it feels, instead of a negative connotation, that sometimes a kindergarten teacher needs to condescend in her understanding to bring about understanding to these five-year-olds. So Christ had a state, has a station, has the higher power, the higher existence, the higher form, and he chose to come down in our form to be an example, to teach, to bring about further light and knowledge. So it could be looked at as a negative connotation, but he came to our level, is how I interpret the condescension.
I totally agree. I think I remember now a song lyric, Jesus promised to exalt us, but low is the way. So he had to come below all things to be able to ascend all things. And he's also called the door, so that we might understand. So he chose this vessel of this tabernacle to reveal himself to us as his brother.
So condescending is the opposite of ascending? Maybe?
Yeah, I think so. In that context, we should understand.
But condescending before the foundation of the world.
It's the whole plan before the world was.
Okay.
He had to think about it in that way. I think that he would be it was necessary that he would lower himself first, because then he would be able to lift up.
So that we have the ability to get it.
Yeah, if you read the rest of that sentence, it answers that right there, Bhakya. Because it says, condescending before the foundation of the world to reveal these things in due time, which was expedient that their children might not remain lost in darkness. So it obviously had to happen so that the children would not remain lost in darkness. And I love this scripture so much. In the first line, well, all of it, but where it says that the Father being the same yesterday, today, and forever. I remember being a missionary, and that was one of the very first scriptures that we shared to people, because that's how we introduced the fact that there is the knowledge or the understanding that we could have more books, right? Because we had the Bible. And God has patterns, and he calls leaders, and he calls prophets, and he has the priesthood. And, you know, the pattern too is that he has more records and more books. And so he's the same today, yesterday, and forever. So that's what I really love about this scripture as well. Thanks.
Thanks, Sam.
In Romans chapter 12, in verse 15 and 16, read, it says, rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another, mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. So what I see is that Christ identified with us and took upon our form. And can I comment too about something else in that verse?
Of course.
I like when it says in due time, that reminds me of how in the Book of Mormon, it says, touch not the things that were sealed and unless it's wisdom in me, the Lord. So there was going to be a time when it was wisdom in the Lord. And there's another passage which says when it's prudent. And that's also quoted in the sealed book. And what I see is that in the 19th century, the Lord saw a wave, a flood of doubt that was coming against Christianity and the Bible by higher criticism and the age, the times. And so he interceded in the affairs of man to precede that flood with a flood of truth, or truth springing from the earth, in order to counteract what was coming, in order to give a testimony to those that the Bible was true, who would have been challenged by the things that were coming on the earth. And I believe in the same way, because there's another passage in the sealed book which talks about, if it were not for God to do these things at this time, that even the fathers would fall away in their faith. before their children grew up. And so I believe the Lord saw something that's coming soon on the earth, and that he is interjecting again in order to preserve his people and to preserve righteousness on the earth. And so this is part of the reason, I believe, which consists of that prudence that he saw and that wisdom. And it might just be the fact that we've strayed so far that we really need to help to come back. And it might be that the forces that are contrary to God on the earth are gaining strength, and he needs to bring power from heaven once again, as well as truth from the earth. And so I appreciate this passage for that reason, and also because it does link the children and the fathers, which is part of the latter-day work, and the strength of the families, which is the foundation of Zion. So it's a real beautiful picture for me to consider the things in this verse.
Thank you. Maybe we go to the next verse. Jeannie, would you like to read that one?
Yes, I like this one. But behold, you are bound as children of the covenant to live according to all the precepts outlined in this record, dedicated to the preservation and perpetuation of the wisdom revealed in your words, and above all, engaged in the spread of these good feelings among your brethren, who will be an apostasy in the last days, as it was in the days of the iniquitous King Noah and his priestly class, composed of devout followers, as might be expected of a people blinded by the cunning of the devil, because of the precepts of men and priestly wiles among their leaders, whose priesthood of the Son of God will no longer be active among them. Just as he was not active among the covenant people in the days of Alma, when he walked secretly among the people corrupted of the church of his days and began to teach the words of Abinadi.
Harm, when I think of this verse, tying it into the verse before, and that my father was condescending before the foundation of the world to reveal things in due time, as so much of the world goes into corruption and dark times, and then all appears to be lost, that the father was doing this before the foundation of the world, and revealing things in due time when it was expedient that their children may not remain in darkness. I also think of, there has to be a place in our hearts to hold these things. So expedient times, when the children are ready, when truth has been lost, then someone such as Joseph Smith, Mauricio, whomever, has that place in their heart for truth to be revealed and heard, and then acted upon. And I think that that's what it's talking about as time goes on throughout the world's history and coming up. As things get lost, anything can be revealed in the Lord's own due time when it's expedient, and when we have a place in our hearts to hold that light, to act upon it and allow it to grow within ourselves and share with these and amongst the world that it is in the Lord's timing. But also, if we're open, we have that place in our hearts to be an instrument in his hands in his due time, was my thought in those two verses.
Thank you, Darla. It's great. I'm also thinking all the time we talk about it, the foreknowledge of our Lord, and that children might not remain lost, and why would this darkness be upon us this way? Of course, because we the water is getting it's filthy, and it goes not in one time, but it gradually. So we don't notice at first, but we have been prepared, and that's why we can recognize, I think, and I also think about the Medina archives, that are elements, because Doctrine and Covenants 93, for man is spirit and elements inseparably connected, will receive fullness. So if we try to, and the intelligence of God is not created, so if we try to keep learning, we will recognize, and in due time, we will understand, because we need to understand now because of the times ahead. So I love this about these verses, and especially the good feelings, to be really acknowledge good feelings, because we are taught in the world to measure with statistics. And not like God sees in the heart, which is not visible to the world, but to God all is for his eyes. And I love the outstretchedness, the peace and hope it gives, that he knows. And it's interesting, devout followers and the priestly caste of Noah. So any thoughts on that, the devout followers? How can we love the devout followers who are cunningly led astray by the devil? Any thoughts?
Brother Harm, this is Bob. I might just comment on this verse and the last verse. The devout followers might be hidden in the parable that we have been given. Is everyone aware that the church was given a new parable in I think of March of last year or 2020, the parable of the traveler? And I don't know, is there a way to put anything on the chat here? I could put it out on the chat, I think, if I could figure out how to do it. But in that revelation, a parable was given saying that God's people would not remain in darkness, excuse me, but the key point to that parable was to go back and look at what was written before. And then as the day goes on, the light would, the traveler started out in darkness, but as the day goes on, the sun would rise until midday when there would be no darkness. And the key point to that was going back and reading what the prophets of before had said, like we're reading in these verses. And so I thought that was important. I think perhaps the devout followers are those people who are seeking and have that mindset and that desire in their heart to find out what is the true word of God, and to support Brother Mauricio's effort to bring that church out of obscurity and darkness.
Thank you. Very good point. I also reminded a few verses before what Jesus says, remember the precedents among you, that he emphasizes the whole time to read Isaiah to understand everything. And why it all culminates in this time we live in now. Let's go to the next 11. Steve, would you read that?
I just found the parable. Anyway, if anybody wants it, I'll forward it to you.
Thank you.
I just put it out in the chat, and I don't know if you can see the chat.
Maybe we can read it.
Okay.
Would you like to read it, Steve?
Is it a lot? It's quite a bit. I'd be glad to do it, but if everybody's got it, it might be something to ponder.
Yeah, maybe better. Yeah. Read the verse then.
Yea, Alma was eager to teach all who wished to hear his words, and instructed them secretly, visiting them in their homes and making public meetings between the stops of Mormon and baptizing them in their waters in order to live the same principles of the United Order which is now proposed to you, so as to ease the burdens of one another, to weep with those who weep.
Does it stop there with you?
Just for a minute, no.
Sorry.
And comfort those in need and to be witnesses of these things from God at all times. In wherever you stand, even in front of death, so that you may be found worthy to be numbered among the family of God and correspond to the pride that you must have when you take my name upon you, becoming my authorized representative among men in the flesh.
Thank you. I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. The spirit catches me off guard sometimes.
Mm. Yeah.
What I love about this one is just the pattern of God in all things throughout history, in the times of King Noah and in the times of Christ, when the Pharisees and Sadducees had the laws and this is the way it needs to be done. And this is what we need to do. And the Lord blessed the devout followers who had their light in their hearts and provided John the Baptist and another way and another path for them who were seeking to find that truth and really be baptized, to be fed, to be edified. The Sermon on the Mount, you know, just so much came about through the correct hearts, the correct lines, even though there was authority set up that was off the beaten path. And just as Mauricio and Joseph F. Smith and all of the things that are going on with starting this, you know, trying to bring and finish what Joseph Smith had started with this new group with Mauricio, there will be authority set forth, as we've seen already in the short time, where people get off path and then the devout followers are given the light and things continue on the path and restructured in light and truth. So it's just interesting to look at the Lord's pattern and how things, Satan wants to get them off track and lead people astray. And yet with the pureness of Christ and the light in our hearts and true love and understanding that he will answer individual prayers through personal revelation, just as Mauricio was inspired to do, to get the things that he did to get us to the point that we're at. So that's kind of fun.
Yeah, that is fun. It's great to recognize that pattern and feel one through that and at all times. And I love the part also to be found worthy. And that he's the same yesterday and forever, that you may be found worthy to be numbered among the family and correspond to the pride you must have. So that was something I pondered about this week, because pride, I always was taught pride you need somebody else for. So that's not good. But if we are founded and we weep with those who weep and feel the joy with those who are joyous, then we can become one, and our faith can grow, and then we are really happy, like what you said, Darla, with the recognition of the eternal truths we are sharing, and then we will feel the pride to be able to follow our Savior in serving our brothers and sisters. Any other thoughts?
Brother Harm, the problem with the word pride in the English word pride is the letter that's right in the middle of the word, the I. Yeah. That's self-centered pride, which leads to, there's a word, hubris. I don't use it much, but maybe everyone else knows what it means, but hubris is the end result of unrighteous pride. It's the worst kind of pride, where this is righteous, I don't have the words to say, but it's the righteous pride. It's like the loving condescension of God. It's if we could just write this word without the I in the middle, then I think that would remind us that when we have pride in the things that the Lord is doing for the benefit of his people, but not to benefit any one person above another.
Great point. I love the...
What's funny, something that a little trick I used when I think of ways that I want to use the word pride, I've kind of have a little trigger in my brain to remind me to exchange that pride word for pleased. Because when Christ was on the cross, he was pleased with his son. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. But he was pleased. He wasn't proud of his son. He was pleased. And so I use that. I try to mentally exchange that for pride when I want to feel proud about something. I choose to be pleased.
That's interesting. I have a totally different facial expression before me when you say pleased or pride. I don't have a face before me of what someone would look like if they're pride, but
proud.
But if they're pleased, I can see a gentle. I think of Jesus now as Jesus, verse 5, as Jesus said as he gazed slightly upon the book of Mosiah. I tend to think that he smiled a little bit. Oh, elect declaration.
Yeah, I like those thoughts that you shared, and that's something that actually a bishop I had in Florida, we had a discussion about that once, and he really tried to use that when he spoke to his children. Instead of saying, I'm so proud of you, he would say, I'm pleased in you. And so I've tried to do that with my daughters as well. And, you know, in these verses, the thing that sticks out so much is, you know, we're in such a interesting scenario with this COVID business. Like, you know, my sweet neighbor that I have known my entire life, she has been a second mother to me. I have so many lovely memories with her, and her daughter was my best friend growing up in elementary school into middle school. And she just passed away 2 days ago. And she didn't die from COVID. She died from dementia and just, you know, old age. But, you know, my mom just told me earlier today that it's only the family that are going to be able to go there. And it's because her husband has COVID. So I understand that, but it just breaks my heart because I'm thinking, you know, how can I now try to show love and weep with those that weep? And, you know, so if you guys have any ideas, I mean, I've sent an email and a text message to her daughter, but I mean, you know, it's just, it's heartbreaking to me that I can't go and, you know, be with them and weep with them and rejoice in her life and celebrate her life. And she was such a loving, non-judgmental person and just a classy, classy woman and just, you know, a pinnacle saint. I mean, she was a pinnacle saint and genuine in every way. And anyway, so yeah. Sorry, I just...
no worries.
Yeah, I'm just struggling as to know how I can do what the scripture says, you know, in the world that we're living in right now.
Well, if you want a little practical suggestion, I love cards, physical cards. So you talked about email and...
Yeah, that's a great idea, to send some actual cards to the family. Mm-hmm.
Well, and write on it what, you're remembering of her.
Mm-hmm.
Just small.
It's very comforting for a family to read what the person has meant to
someone else. Right.
My experience.
And words to cite them is my experience also to cite some, he used to say, what you love about someone, you know.
Right. Give some examples. Some
quotes. Yeah, quotes.
Yeah. So anyway, I just, I'm back in America. So it's good to be back home. It's weird in some ways, but it's good to be back with all of you. And I'm just looking forward to, you know, being able to study more consistently and to give out my sealed books. And Steve, if you have one in Spanish, I need one in Spanish.
Okay. Got you.
We'll talk about that later. But okay, thank you so much for your insight. Thank you. All of
you. Thank you. Thank you for your open heart. Any other thoughts on 11 then? If not, we go to 12. Tyler, would you read that one?
Okay. Only in this way can it be recognized by my Father as the true church established by his only begotten Son among men on earth. Yea, in the days when I visit them in my temple and again rename those who repent and come to me as being the church of Christ.
Thank you. I was thinking the other verse maybe too. It goes together, I think. Yes, Tyler, you want to do that one too?
Okay, 13. Yeah. Until this day comes, you resume upon the name that will be given by revelation in the introduction of the fullness of times, so that you may be known among the saints, which will be scattered throughout, by the name that will be known as my church in the last days.
Thank you. Any comments?
The part right there at the beginning of verse 12, only in this way can it be recognized by my Father. I think that's really important that we understand our part in being righteous within ourselves so the Lord can recognize us. Everything that we do, all of our relationship with God, we have to extend that starting from ourselves. Ask him, be recognized, recognizable. I think that's it. I think many people can pray, but if they're not righteous, they're not recognizable by God. I think that's important.
Thank you. Good point. It's the authorization, yeah? And that gives the peace for us to be able to believe. I also love this rename those. It is constant moving forward, his plan. You know, it's not, it's founded, but it's also always in development. And I like that. I always think about the blooming staff of Aaron. I love it so much that it's alive. You know, it's not a static thing. It has to be mathematical correct and everything. Exactly as it has to be. But then it still is developing. And that we have to act according to what is revealed to us now, you know, and there will be more. And this is what we have now. So maybe one more. You want to comment?
Sorry? Only in this way. Is that referring to the United Order?
It's referring to the verse above it. It's saying to weep with those who weep, to take upon their burdens, to really become one with the thoughts and feelings of those in your community, your family. And in that way, you're numbered among the family of God. And then when you take upon my name, and only in this way, through the authorized representative, can you be recognized.
But I think United Order is also part of it, right?
Yeah, this is the principle. Yeah. She says this is the principle of the United Order, you know, to be one, and then with other three, Bob said with the three-legged stool, the priesthood authority. It's actually this is what that's about, that it all has to come together before we can be recognized. By the Father as a true church. Mm-hmm. Only in this way.
Yeah. In verse 10, when Jesus said, above all, engage in the spread of these good feelings, and then later ties that in verse 11 with the United Order, and weeping with those who weep and mourning and comforting. So that's what I picked up from that, was that the Lord was wanting to restore and find among his people something which was there anciently with the church in Alma, and something which has perhaps been lost to us today, but that through these words and these principles that he's given us in these words will restore to us, so that we can be his true representatives, and so that he can rename us, and that life, that budding can take place.
Yeah, that's true. I love it about this chapter, that actually before this chapter is all about how it's done, the getting the United Order organized. And this is a kind of a summary. When he in verse 2, when he explains all the words, and this is the only in this way. Maybe we're over time. Maybe we stop here and we go start with 14 next time, because there's so much here. I don't want to rush. So thank you, everybody. If somebody has anything to add, please speak out. Feel free.
Go ahead, Tyler.
A short testimony. I guess it was in December of 2017, I was communicating with Mauricio, and it was right before they went up on the mountain and saw Moroni again that year. And I don't remember the question I was asking, but he replied, and he told how Moroni had explained to him that in Zion that was the lack of the love of God. And so they were kind of like the Pharisees. They wanted to enforce their version of the letter of the law, but they didn't have the love which Jesus had in their hearts. And I was praying at that time pretty earnestly about to have a testimony to work. And I had a vision in January right after that, like two in a row. And the first one, I saw the Lord. And then the second one, I saw a group of people, and they were very happy, extremely happy. And they were sharing with one another, and they were talking as they were walking along a path, and they were just, their countenance was exuding with joy. And I understood that they were discussing one another, the joy they had in their life from receiving from the Lord his teachings by his own mouth, and then by living those or implementing those. And as I just saw that, it happened for a split second, but it was kind of seared into my understanding. So as I pondered it, that joy started to fill my heart until it was almost so it was going to burst, that there was nothing left in my heart but that joy that was filling it up. And I remember waking, saying, if we could only have the words of Christ that he gave to those people, that we'd have the opportunity to live by those words and have that same joy. And I thought of that vision when we read these verses, that we can have that very same joy by implementing and living the words of Christ in this book that he's given us, specifically revealed for our day. And I so much look forward to that, and am very much encouraged by the progress that's being made in defining how the order is to be set up, and so that we can then begin to bring our treasures of our hearts, our talents, our time, our desires, and begin to experience that joy that those ancient people experienced through their personal interaction with Christ. And I believe what we read today is speaking about that transformation that's going to happen among his people. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I remember that Russell is not with us today, and he sent an email, which was quite interesting, that John Pratt emphasized while studying the previous year, that we should really dig into Isaiah to connect all these things. It's a little bit more further up the chapter, but I want to encourage everybody to study the things Isaiah said about these things, and I can recommend the website of Avram Gileadi, Isaiah Explained, and it's all coming together, brothers and sisters. I don't know if I have asked somebody to do the final prayer. I guess so.
I'm gonna stop the recording also, Jeannie, or not? It can be.
I can maybe stop the recording and then we can give prayer. Hold on just a minute.